0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as the dust begins to settle on a very, very busy weekend across Scottish football. Liam Scales feels Celtic's away form is proof they can kick on and win the title. James Tavernier accepts responsibility for the missed penalty but believes Rangers can still go on and win the Scottish Premiership. And it's a few days away yet, but attention now turning back to that Scottish Premiership title race and the other battles up and down the division. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Brian Graham and Gordon Dale.
Yeah, we had everything on and off the pitch at the weekend, Gordon. What was overlooked as well, the fact that this man sitting next to me, Falkirk, and his teammates, semi-final, fantastic achievement for him. You look at Championship team Dunfermline under Neil Lennon, brilliant for him. Celtic getting through as well, and obviously St Mirren against Mark Wilson's Partick Thistle, who I thought were very unlucky in the night. I thought they were excellent, and as you quite rightly say, a lot of talking points listened to the show last night, a lot of angry people out there, but we're now looking forward to a big Premier League card at the weekend and a lot of valuable points to be played for.
You've been absolutely robbed of the limelight, the rest of you. Partick Thistle fans felt aggrieved. St Mirren, well done to them going through. Falkirk have gone through. Dunfermline, one of the Scottish Cup results in recent times, not a column inch between you, given the events at Ibrox at the weekend. Delighted to be through, I take it, going to Hampden.
Of course we are. I thought we were excellent first half. We lost a goal late in the first half. It probably changed the game. Second half, Dundee and I came out on top, but the one that hits the post and rolls along the lines into Scott Bain's hands, that's when you probably know that that's going to be your night. It's another chance to go to Hampden, and we played on Fermanagh, which is a big rivalry again, so it'll be a game to really look forward to.
I'm looking forward to that one. We were talking about it before we come on the show, the sort of what the crowd would be, because I always thought these games, you were thinking, would there have been better atmosphere going to Tynecastle or a place like that, but you're looking at 20,000 at Hampden for this game. It's massive. I always thought the derby was Dunfermline and Raith Rovers. When I played there,
tensions are high in here because producer John's a big Falkirk fan and Stephen Mills a big Dunfermline fan.
Well, I was on a podcast yesterday and the two of them were at it right away. I'm looking forward to it. I think that'll be a cracker. I really do. I think it'll be a cracker. And the great opportunity for one of these two clubs to actually get to the final on the 22nd.
But it's not just that, on your earlier point.
Is it 22nd or the 23rd? Can't remember. It's one or two.
See, you're saying about going to Tynecastle, but see, as players, you want to go to the National Stadium. We've earned the right to go to Hampden, and it's going to be a day, a good occasion, where we need to go and fully focus and try and beat them firmly, because under Neil Lennon, they've got some exciting young players going well in the Championship right now. They've already beaten Hibs and Aberdeen, so it's not going to be an easy game. It's one we're going to really take and throw in that rivalry as well, so it's going to be a great day, and hopefully we can come out on top.
Yeah, years gone by, you probably would have looked at somewhere like Tynecastle and that, but because of the way Falkirk have progressed and the way they're going about, you're packing out your home stadium. You look at Dunfermline under Neil Lennon, they'll have a big support. I think 26,000-30,000, what an event.
0141 951 1025, that is the number you need, so come on down, let us know what is on your mind tonight. Maybe it is some of the stuff that's been missed in the last couple of days, given everything that happened at full time at Ibrox. We had a good solid hour of back and forth with it. I suspect we've not heard the end of it yet. We've not heard from both clubs yet, incidentally, as far as I can gather. So if you've got an appetite for that to continue, you know the number. Maybe you think last night was an opportunity missed to talk about the football match, although I don't know if there was much to analyse from that or much to celebrate in terms of a spectacle. But what about the footballing outcomes of Celtic going through, Rangers going out, where it leaves Danny Rule, what it means for the remainder of the season? Going to hear from both captains on the day. Well, James Tavernier eventually came on, didn't he? Liam Scales. And it's funny because we said in the build up to this, what does this mean? Bigger picture. Yeah, it's cup football, it's knockout, you're trying to go through, but does it have any knock-on effect? Does this now give Celtic some sort of lift towards trying to go and get the title? Can Rangers still do it? Does it damage them What's the bigger picture? What does it look like going forward? Because the run-in from now until the end of May in both Cup and League is going to be sensational. We knew that already, but it just feels like it's just poised and ready to go.
Yeah, I think it put what it does, the result at the weekend, Gordon, I think it puts a little bit more pressure on Rangers. Because Celtic are still in that frame to, even if they, if Hearts win the league, they're still got a, they're getting the favourites at the semi-final to go and win the Scottish Cup. I know that obviously Falkirk, Dunfermline will have a big say. St Mirren, who beat them in the League Cup final, they certainly will have a big say, but Celtic will be favourites. Rangers' only trophy chance now is to go and win the league, so it puts a little bit added pressure on them. I think we're in for a great run-in. I can't wait to the split as well. I think the split's cemented, and I know that we keep talking about 45 points. If I hear that one more time, I'm going to scream. Falkirk are there, and they're there in merit. I think there's some brilliant fixtures coming up.
Yeah, there's a lot to happen. We'll go back a few weeks ago in the show, and we're speaking about Rangers and the January transfer window, and I think everyone agreed that we thought it was as if Rangers came out of it the strongest, but they've obviously lost the semi-final. They've only now, sorry, the quarter-final, they've only now got the league to play for, where Hearts have been so dominant throughout the course of the season. So it's going to be a hard task for Rangers now to go and win the league, but they're still in there fighting. They've still got a chance.
Same number as always. Keep reiterating at the start, 01419511025. Maybe you want to pay a bit more attention to what happened on the field over the weekend. If you've still got lingering thoughts about what happened off it, whatever you fancy, we are here for you. Get those calls in here until around about 8 o'clock. And all of a sudden, Gordon, it feels like we've not had too many quiet midweeks. I mean, it won't be quiet in terms of headlines and off-field stories and whatever, but we don't have a midweek fixture. You know, we've had Celtic in particular, I've had that Aberdeen game last week, the Stuttgart the week before, Stuttgart again the week before that. For the first time in a while, there's a bit of breathing space for everybody to rest up and really go about the title race when they resume at the weekend.
Yeah, I think all teams will be delighted with that, because it gives you the opportunity as well, that a couple of little knocks or niggles just to get them sorted. You want to be strong for this running. Because it is, especially in that top six. And also, see if you look at it down the bottom there, it's pressure down there as well. You're looking at Kilmarnock, St Mirren. Can Aberdeen be dragged into that because of their form lately?
Even Dundee's result of the weekend against Motherwell, we've not really spoke about that tonight. Yeah. What a victory for Stephen Presley's side. I think Dundee have been going really well the last couple of months.
Well, it puts the pressure off us, Motherwell.
Is that the Motherwell title charge again? Didn't get a look in on last night's show.
No, Gordon, I've got to say, Motherwell are brilliant. They're a great watch. They're a bit like Falkirk. Falkirk's very good now. Motherwell are brilliant. Good football inside. I never thought, unfortunately, that Motherwell was going to go all the way and win the title. They will have a massive say in it, like Falkirk, when it goes into the split. There's no doubt, nobody likes going to Fir Park, especially with their clean sheet record there. I think only Rangers have scored in about 11 games there. So that's got to be difficult. But I never thought Motherwell were... Look, maybe third was a possibility, and probably still is, but never to win the title for me.
The scene is set. Let's go. 01419511025. I can see the call is lighting up Jamie's first through. What's your point, Jamie?
How you doing, guys? You alright?
Yeah, how are we
good.
Doing?
To you? Aye, good. Spot on, Mike. Nursed the hangover pretty well yesterday.
Please drink responsibly.
Yeah, so I've got 3 points, lads, if that's alright.
Go for it.
First one is Sinisalo. I think since he's been in, he's put himself in contention to be the number one goalkeeper for next season. So that's, I just wondered what your take on is on that. The second point is...
Take them one at a time. Why not? On you go.
Yeah, for me. I think that he's waited his chance. I'd have gave him his chance at the Hibs game. Martin O'Neill decided to stick with his experience, and I can understand that. The man managing behind that, saying to his goalkeeper, look, you were good for me the first time I come in. You've taken a little dip, but I'm going to show you that I'm going to back you and support you. Great man management. But he's waited his opportunity, Gordon. And let's be honest, he's been very good since he came in. He looks assured. He looks like he's getting more confident every game. He looks better. I thought he was excellent at the weekend. Don't get me wrong, he didn't have save after save after save, but anything he had to do, he done brilliantly. Depends who they bring in, because Michael, obviously, this is his last rodeo. So they'll bring someone else in as well. But right now, he's in a great position.
No, he's done well in these four games. He gets a clean sheet away in Germany. The two he loses at Ibrox... in the league. He can't do anything about. He then goes to Pittodrie, he loses a penalty, but he makes a wonderful save. I think it was from Nesbitt, header. And then at the weekend, I thought he was really assured. Even Rangers, when Rangers put Celtic under severe pressure with the corners and free kicks, he's coming, he's collecting, he's punching, he's taking the pressure off his defence. I thought he's been excellent the last four games.
Was it that assured, you know that word? Because I don't think any of the saves at the weekend were outstanding. They didn't have to be. I remember one, you guys in the studio felt he could have came for it and he didn't. But other than that, I feel like he came for quite a bit. You know, because that's obviously a big part of it as well, taking the pressure off, trying to calm everybody down, especially that atmosphere, you know, backs to the wall. Was it kind of more about the way he handled it, the presence, rather than the fact that he made, you know, a string of brilliant saves?
I don't know about Brian. I'm not surprised that he can come in and handle it going. They paid, what, over £1 million for him? He's an international footballer.
But hold on, right. You do keep... Just let's find the sweet spot with that, though. £1 million's not a lot, right?
And it's still £1 million. Well, it is if you've it's not sitting in my way.
But it's right. And
it'd be a lot if it was Falk that was buying him for £1 million. Exactly. Or Celtic.
And this notion, like, he's got 7 caps for Finland. So you're right, he is an international footballer.
Yeah.
But you banned that about like he's got 40 caps for Brazil. Do you know what I mean?
No,
like,
no. What part of that's a lie? None.
I acknowledge that
over £1 million international
you were
footballer.
Accurate.
So,
well, why has there been so much uncertainty then about whether he could come in and fill the gloves?
Because he was untested. He was untried.
But let's be honest, he had played sometimes and people were maybe not quite sure.
Well, I'm trying to back myself up here by saying I'm not surprised he's come in and played well. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't like I was sitting there looking at an untried young goalkeeper waiting for his opportunity and then coming on the big stage. Look, he could have folded, no doubt, because sometimes goalkeepers do that. But I've looked at him and he's waited patiently. He's obviously worked very hard behind the scenes in training. Waited for his opportunity, and when you get that opportunity, especially as a goalkeeper, because it is a preferred position, obviously, then you've got to grasp it with both hands.
I like it.
Yeah,
I see what you did there. What else, Jamie, then, did you take away from the game on Sunday?
I was at the game on Sunday, but after I got home, I watched the full game again. And I felt...
You've got a hangover. It wasn't the drink.
Why?
And I felt that Trusty had actually potentially probably played the best game in a Celtic jersey this season. Just wondered what you... I thought it was fantastic.
Seriously, that's an incredible commitment to your craft. That, and I know, well, the clues in the title fan and just being... And you get a different perspective on TV. You watch all 120 minutes of that back?
I watched it all.
That's incredible.
At which speed?
And if you were drunk, what do you remember of it?
See the thing, I remember we were having a chat in the studio when the teams came out, and I think that you says to me, is Trusty a big call? I think you were asking something like that. We were discussing it, and I thought, no, he likes Trusty because Trusty at times in the big games can be a massive player for Celtic. And I've got to say, he was outstanding. I thought as the game grew, Scales was the same. And then Murray come on. And Murray, who had a sort of a nightmare moment at Ibrox a week before, but went on to have a really good second half. I thought Celtic's back four, actually, plus their goalkeeper, was the reason. Because you don't win a quarter-final at Ibrox with not having a shot on target if your back four and your goalkeeper's not performing.
But has this bit ever been in doubt for Austin Trusty? Away to Bologna, away to Atlanta before that game at the weekend... He is a good backs to the wall defender. It's the other games.
It's the concentration in other games when maybe the games are slightly easier, where his concentration maybe goes at times.
And then he's one on one. Obviously there was the red card against Hearts. There's the Chermiti
goal at Parkhead, you know, where he should go out to the ball and he runs the other way. There is mistakes.
Just while we're on a roll, you know, people said he should have got closer for the Kilmarnock goal. Tyrese John-Jules, as good a finish as it was.
Yeah, but he likes him in his right foot.
Back inside, that sort of thing.
But he is a top player, and the pace he's got for a centre half is incredible. His recovery gets him in and gets him to cover potentially Scales when Scales is at centre half beside him. But another one, Scales at left back was excellent. Kieran Tierney obviously misses, and it's a big call to go and put Scales there because you've got Sarachi on the bench. But Scales never put a foot wrong, and by the way, he gets booked early in the first half, so he's on that tightrope, especially at Ibrox. But I just felt Rangers never done enough once he went on that yellow card to really go and test him. There was once in, I think it was the first half, Scales gets dragged in narrow and they get an over, they get a 2v1 in the far side, but it comes to nothing. I think Rangers have kept going down that side, but to be fair to Scales, I thought he was excellent.
Thank you very much to Jamie on the line. Going to try and squeeze one more in before the travel if we can. So Gary is a Rangers fan. How are you, Gary?
All right, mate. How you doing?
What are you thinking guys? Tonight?
How are we doing? Hi, Gary.
Yeah, I was just going to say thanks very much to Hearts, Motherwell and St Mirren winning the Cup, because the Old Firm this year have been absolutely shocking. It's just a case of, it's apart from what happened the other weekend and stuff like that, but if it wasn't for them, then this season would be an absolute joke.
Do you think the kind of overall package, the entertainment has come because a couple of others have stepped up? You think the combined standard of the Old Firm is a concern?
Oh yeah, definitely. From the get-go, from the start of the season, Hearts have been brilliant. Motherwell's football is unbelievable. St Mirren, fair play to them, winning the Cup. But the Old Firm, straight away from the start of the season, have just been...
What did you make of Sunday's performance?
I don't really want to talk about the after scenes and stuff like that, but we had 26 shots on goal. They had one or something like that. The goalkeeper made one great save, which was offside, and then never had anything to do. He never even saved a penalty.
I need a deep dive into why Jack Butland's so good at penalties in normal time but doesn't save them in shootouts.
I know, it's
has baffled me.
It's incredible, isn't it?
But anyway, that aside,
don't even think you dived the right way, did you?
No.
Do you know something? It's funny, Gary, you're saying there, I've seen all the stats as well, and I was looking at the Celtic goalkeeper thinking, didn't he really have a save to make? You know, a real save that you go, like you mentioned, yeah. Nisbet's header against...
They blocked Sinister. A lot, didn't they, in front of him?
The defence was absolutely brilliant. I agree with Gary. I think this year, Celtic and Rangers, I think the vast amount of supporters will agree that they've been very below par for me, both of them. But take nothing away. I don't think you can just label Hearts, Motherwell, take into consideration Hibs as well, sitting in fifth, and Brian's Falkirk. They've been excellent. It's not to do with how bad Rangers and Celtic have been. They've been excellent in their own right.
Because, Gary, I think most fans we've had Sunday, Monday are along the same lines as you. Then I remember we'd one last night who was, I think, encouraged almost by the Rangers' performance and felt like it was unlucky and it went to penalties and they had, you know, so much territory and the shots that you mentioned. But I take it you don't have any sort of positives then to take away from it.
Well, the thing is, when you have 26 shots on goal, you need to bury them, you need to put teams away. You need to just, like, you know, the week before we played them 2-0 up, you know, kill the game. Chill it. Like, just get a third one and then that's them done. It's too many times. It was a game against Hearts. Okay, we won, I think it was like 4-2 or something like that. But the fans get back on top of them all the time. And then Danny Rose, substitutions, putting Gassama back on the right. I don't understand that whatsoever. You've got Asgard there, you've got the other Danish boy who could have come on. I don't understand these substitutions sometimes.
So about that, Mikey Moore's withdrawal got a bit of disagreement.
Yeah. But obviously we've all got our opinions. I couldn't understand. Majovski never got on the pitch when Nadiri, for me, I thought he was dreadful. I've got to be honest with you, I thought he was dreadful. I think he offered absolutely nothing. I know that he scored his penalty, and even at that, I thought he was a bit lucky. I agree. I totally agree. I think a lot of Rangers fans would have looked at the substitutions. Asgard, the one thing you can give you if you bring him on, look, he's not been the greatest since he's arrived at Ibrox, but he's got something in his locker that he can produce something, you know, just out of the ordinary. You see,
even if he got a free kick.
Free kick, that's what I was going to say. You see his free kick, he can get a goal from somewhere. But I was a bit surprised.
Majovski's a goal scorer as well, and Rangers were dominating. They had all the ball. Celtic were kind of camped in. you think a centre forward comes on at that stage. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if the defender for Rangers was injured when they, but why bring Suter on? Surely you don't put a centre half on when you're chasing a goal.
I think it was just that lack of game time or whatever.
Potentially it could have been, but I don't understand it. Why you don't put a centre forward, don't you go and try and score your goal to win the game?
And say on the subject Kasama, every time he's been dangerous, it's cutting in from the left hand side, mm-hmm. Gordon, and he's produced a goal. He offered nothing coming on the right hand side for me. I do agree. I think Rangers manager got a lot of calls on.
Gary, can you still win the league? Because that's what it's all down to now.
Well, with Motherwell getting beat the other day by Dundee, that was a massive surprise. So, we're in it. But being out of the cup now, that should drive us on, because not winning any trophies at all this year is not acceptable.
But do you think we're going to go back to it with Russell Martin was at the start of the side. Would you put any of that blame on Danny Rowe?
No.
No, neither would that. No. That's why I wanted to ask you.
None. Well, you know, there's, even if it's,
I know
he's
spent a lot of money in January, but in the fact that the way he's turned it round and got Rangers in the title race, when he came in, Rangers weren't in the title race. So he's got to have a lot of credit for that.
Is there a case to say that once you then kind of get there, though, Gordon, you've done well, or you've kind of come back to where you should be? There's a bit of the gap they've made up over Hearts, fine. But there's a bit of Celtic coming back the way towards you because of that Wilfred Nancy period.
I'm sort of in the camp that I would probably stick by him. I think we're...
Just to be clear, I'm not saying is a question of sacking. I'm saying zero blame versus a bit of blame.
I think he takes a big bit of blame. I think he's got a squad there and they've spent a lot of money, Rangers, this season. Of course, I take on board what Brian's saying, he's brought them into that, but he's still got to take that responsibility. Now, what we're saying there is, and I was talking about the fact that I would probably go with him in the summer as well. Our first 3-4 calls on Sunday were from Rangers fans wanting him out. So there's already, and I know it's a reaction after a game, there's still a small amount starting to doubt them.
Okay, Gary, 01419511025. It's a good time to call. We'll speak to you next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Brian Graham are here. 01419511025. Lots of callers trying to make their way onto the lines. Let's see who is lined up next. It is Scott, who's in air. Hi, Scott.
How are we doing? Good evening, Conor.
Good, Scott. Doing?
Just want to touch on Old Firm, obviously. Things have calmed down a lot since Sunday.
Have they?
I felt like Rangers spent the whole game trying to win, where Celtic were just surviving 26 shots for Rangers. It was a dominant performance. It was what we wanted to see. But frankly, the end result was what we expected.
Was it dominant enough, if that makes sense? Because, I mean, in one sense, you are totally right, and you couldn't make it. I mean, obviously, Celtic hadn't, no attacks, no shots, you know, that sort of thing. But did it ever feel like you caused the Celtic backline any real stress, Scott? Is that the bit that's frustrated fans?
I feel like, obviously, the first half of the league game was a lot better, but obviously replicating that for a full 90 for Rangers was obviously difficult. I felt the cup game there against Celtic was a lot better, but in regards to testing Celtic's back line, I felt that we could have done a bit better. If Chirmiti's one week he's scoring overhead kicks, the next minute he kind of hit the target.
I think that was a big chance. I think if I'm talking about the same one you are, the one that gets cut back when he side foots it with his right foot and he goes by the post, I think that was a crucial chance where I think he probably should do better.
Because, you know, Gordon Scott's talking about, you know, comparing it to the previous week and saying, oh, to be fair, Scott acknowledges that was better. It was miles better, was it not? Yeah. You know, it's not, again, I know because Celtic stats were so grim in an attacking sense and Rangers had these shots, but, you know, we all watched it together. You went through, you get that, you know, that sense. It didn't feel like domination in that sense, do you know what I mean? Where, oh, wow, Rangers could go and win this X amount, because it just never, it never felt like it was materialising that way.
Yeah, the week prior, I thought this game could be finished by half time. Rangers were that dominant and they were getting nice balls in and good quality balls in from the wide areas and causing Celtic all sorts of problems. At the weekend, I didn't watch a game and think, oh, Celtic are under, they're got to give in here. The Rangers are certainly going to score in the next 5-10 minutes. If this keeps up, it wasn't it like wave after a wave of attack and really causing Celtic problems? I just think that Celtic knew how to play against Rangers at the weekend.
They learned so much for the first game, yeah, because obviously the midfield, when Hatate was dropped and Chamberlain came in, and then the following week, then McGregor's not playing, Kieran Tierney's not playing, experienced boys for that fixture. Martin Neal's probably went to his cell, well, if we can win it, we'll win it in a counter-attack, but if that can't happen, maybe we go to penalties. A good old manager knew the game and played with a certain style that to try and get his team through
see,
that time.
See if you defend your set plays again, and Rangers obviously are a big threat set plays. If you defend your set plays against Rangers, you've got a great opportunity for them not to score, because I can't really remember times when I've watched Rangers Midley Park creating that ball that splits defences open. You know, they usually go a bit wider, they get the ball in, they get the big men up for the free kicks and the corner kicks and whatever it may be, and they cause problems, and that's part of the game. Of course it is, and use your advantage. Celtic just defended that. And then when they defended that, you're sitting watching a Rangers team thinking, they're running out of ideas here. They're just, you know, trusty skills. And as I say, when Murray came on, I thought Murray was excellent as well. The balls were getting in there. They were just saying, right, okay, we'll go and just attack this. We'll win our headers. We'll defend our balls. We'll make sure. And if anything else goes behind us, the goalkeeper's out there alert. So, yeah, Rangers had the possession. Rangers were a better team. But I didn't look at Rangers' side the same as I looked up in the first half the week prior and think, oh, they're going to score 2 or 3.
Well, we're speaking about a Celtic goalkeeper earlier in the show and seeing how well he's done. But for 26 shots, he's not made save after save. That's worrying for me.
Anything else that jumped out for you, Scott? I mean, are you a sort of, it's just a lottery and anything can happen type view on penalties, or is there more to it? Do you look at the specifics and think, you know, you could have done better?
Well, to be honest, the stats don't lie, but clearly they do, because Jack Butland saved 8 out of 9 and he gets 5 and he can't go the right way on any of them. But another point I would like to make is I felt when Suter came on, I felt that's when the mistakes started happening at the back. I think that's when Celtic looked the most threatening.
See, when Scott mentions it, we touched on it earlier, but so I had a look again. He has Butland 8 out of his last 9 in normal time, if you like. That is, I actually wonder how sort of far you'd need to go to find a penalty record like that. That sounds extraordinarily high, because what the keepers usually save, I don't know, 1 in... Mm-hmm. 1 in 4, I don't know, it's 1 yeah. in 5, something like that, 1 in 5 maybe. 8 out of 9, it's unbelievable.
See with that record, when it goes to penalties, Rangers fans are licking their lips, isn't it? Because they're looking at...
But then
at...
maybe they remember the previous, because it was Andy and Roger were talking about this last night. Rangers have lost 4 out of their last 5 penalty shootouts. Mm-hmm. I don't think, well, now you're testing, I don't know if he's been involved in all 5. Don't, there may be one or two that he wasn't, but some difference. But is that, it must be a coincidence, no?
It's
a pretty closed skill for a goalkeeper, where you know, whether it's a shootout or not.
Well, at kickoff, I predicted extra time and Celtic penalty kick.
By the way, I was telling someone about that and they no chance.
That was the first thing he told me the night when I came in.
Yeah.
Dead, I know.
Yeah, it was just something come in at my mind.
We have failed you. We should have had a clip of that lined up for tonight. You said Celtic on penalties before a ball was kicked, so you did.
Yeah, I was devastated because we had to stay on for the next hour. Maybe it was just that day that... You've got to say Celtic penalty kicks were good. You know, and Butland, it's very difficult for a goalkeeper to keep that record going. And on the day, then, as you say, you look at Tavernier. Everybody, when Tavernier steps up, you're thinking, right,
go.
Put them off to a good start. Put the pressure on the next player coming up. Because it's the first thing I said, good idea, take the first penalty, put a bit of pressure on the next guy coming up. What happens? He takes all the pressure off him because he misses his penalty and Celtic have got the advantage right away.
What we need to see is when it gets back now, let's see what happens. See if he goes and saves his next couple of penalties in normal time. Something amiss.
It's a shootout.
We need to study
problem.
That. But thank you very much to Scott and Ayr, who makes way for Justin, who's on. Hi, Justin.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. You?
No, not great.
No, been better.
Been better, aye. Not a great weekend. The reason I was touching base, I've listened to a lot of the calls, and I've been listening to, obviously, people talking about Rangers not having possession, Celtic defending well, and all this kind of stuff. I don't really agree with the vast majority of that. I think it's the first time that I think Rangers fans are going to have to question Danny Rowe. I'm not going on here to say he should be sacked or anything like that, because that was, listening to some people doing that over the weekend, is just madness. But I think it's the first time that he's definitely not got the game right. He's not played it well. Taking Mikey Moore off as our most creative player, whether he's tired, whether he's a quarter fit at that point, a quarter fit Mikey Moore causing Celtic defence problems most of the day is a lot better prospect than a fully fit Bairami doing absolutely nothing for me. It got compounded when he brought Suter on. Suter seemed to be lost and not get anywhere near up to speed of the game. He seemed to be nervous. He seemed to be questioning his own ability at points. Tav didn't really set the head on fire either when he was on. Obviously, I think he was brought on with maybe the idea of penalties coming up, and you're expecting him to stick it away. But unfortunately, we're now relying on players that seem to be, I don't mean serial bottlers, but they seem to be losing their nerve at the vital moment. And over the last, what, four games, Rangers have blown some really big opportunities to put ourselves out in front this season, not only just in the league, but in the cup. And I have to question some of the decisions Danny Rowe's making now. I don't know what the panel thinks.
That's your problem when you're a manager and your substitutions, if you bring them on, you're hoping somebody makes an impact, especially in a game like that. You tweak one or two things. I don't think any of the Rangers players made any impact at all when they come on. I think Murray made a massive impact for Celtic at the back when he came on, because I thought he was excellent. I totally agree. I would have maybe, I keep going back to Nadiri. Look, he's new at the club. He might come on, he might start scoring goals and whatever. He just looked off it for me. And I'm thinking, right, Majovski at least gives you a different option. He'll go and stretch defences, he'll get in behind. Can he get you a goal? He probably can get you a goal as well. And he doesn't.
That stuff a little bit hindsight. I don't. You know, I know the game lasted a long time, but Majovski's not done well this season. You know, there's a reason he's not in the picture.
But I'm not looking at it going, well, Nadiri or Chermiti's tiring. Nadiri offered nothing. So you're better trying somebody up there that's got to give you something differently. Or even change it, tweak it a little bit. Go with the diamond in the middle and put Moore in behind the two strikers and give Celtic something else to think about and get your width for the fullbacks. He made all the substitutions. None of them impacted the game.
Is there a case, though, Justin, that if Danny Rowe was to be asked directly, can't remember if he was after the game, that he would just say, you know, Giga was tired, hadn't played a lot of first-team football, and that's why he put John Suter on? Or do you think it was a different reason?
So I don't know what the reason was, to be totally honest with you, but the two that seemed to cause most problems was Moore coming off. I don't know anybody that understood that. And as I say, for me, even if you're talking about fitness, even if you're talking about being tired, he didn't look tired to me. Anybody I've spoken to, he didn't look tired. He was still the one, up until he came off, that was causing Celtic the most problems. I don't understand Bairami coming on from a guy that's hardly kicked a ball for us, and when he doesn't look that interested. Suter just looked off it massively. He looked as if he was no way he was going up to speed. And for once, I thought Deja had a pretty strong game. I thought he was decent. Him and Fernandez together looked decent. But I didn't get it. You know, Ryan Madeira, as much as he seemed to be dynamic and running about and chasing things, I maybe agree with Daz, it didn't seem to affect it much. And the one substitution that I thought was actually decent enough for the period of time he was on was Chigwane. I thought he came on and done okay in the middle of the park compared to some of the other players.
What's next then, Justin? What's your league prospects?
At the moment, the honest answer is, I've no idea. because it's a lottery with all of them now.
I take it you feel. Do you feel less confident after the weekend? I mean, there's an obvious extreme comparison here where you go and win really comfortable at the weekend and everybody feels great about themselves and it shows that you're definitely a bit ahead of Celtic. That's the sort of conclusions people would have taken. Your thoughts on the league being damaged by the weekend?
I don't think it impacts the league. If I'm entirely honest, I really don't. I think the thing that's good damage in the league is we seem to be doing the bottle in it part again, which I'll get slated for by saying that, but it seems to be that certain factions of the Rangers team, when it gets to the nitty-gritty and we need to get that extra yard or we need to get that bit just over the line and really drive it, that we seem to fall short, and that's disappointing.
Okay. Justin, we'll need to nip it in the bud just in the interest of time, but I appreciate you taking your time this evening. That was Justin on the line. How does this sound before we go any further? Clyde One. Who says Friday the 13th is unlucky? This weekend, someone will win £600,000 on Make Me a Winner. It was Julie who won the £550,000 last Friday, and you could win even more in 3 days' time. So ignore all those superstitions, get yourself in the draw, and text YES to 61025. Text are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at makemeawinner.co.uk, where you will find all the rules for this network competition, or call 03434 269 340, and all the calls are charged at a standard rate. Over 18s only. Lines close 5pm Friday. Somebody wins the lot, it might as well be you. If you answer your phone, the £600,000 is yours, straight into your bank account after the call. So if you fancy that, and I don't see any reason why you wouldn't, text YES to 61025, and it's a good luck from us.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL is here alongside Brian Graham. We're looking back on the weekend, of course. It's only Tuesday. Lots of stuff to get through. 01419511025. James is on from Drumchapel. How are you, James?
I'm all right, guys. Yourself?
How not doing, bad, James. What is it? On field, off field, during the game, after the game? What made you call tonight?
I've actually phoned, guys, because of the stuff that went on after the game. And it's the things that obviously went on there. Honestly, guys, I have never been more frightened, and I'm a 47-year-old man. I was in the west corner at Ibrox, right next to the Celtic fans, and my daughter was almost hit by a glass bottle. Now, it put the frighteners up me to think that I went to a football game with my daughter, and she might have come home from it. Now, my message to these bampots out there is, get a grip of your sad, pathetic wee lives. Because, you know, you're going to a game of football to enjoy yourselves. And, you know, after the game, you're having me as to, you know, invade parks and stuff like that. You're playing with people's lives here. And I'll tell you now, guys, I won't set foot back at Ibrox now, because I'm actually, I've sent emails to Rangers regarding this, of why the netting wasn't up. Now, had my daughter been hurt with that glass bottle, guys, I don't know what I'd have done. I'd have probably ended up in the jail. For what would have happened, because I just think that you know, the first thing you're going to do is start throwing stuff at opposition fans. Get a grip of your sad, pathetic wee lives, because there's more. You know, I've never been intimidated to ask, you know, it's been a game of football. It's a game of football. It's 11 guys against another 11 guys playing football, and I just think, guys, it frightened me to that stage that I might not came home with my daughter had that hit her.
It doesn't really bear thinking about. See, when you've had an experience like that, James, it must be the ultimate sort of eye opener of, you're not caring who threw the bottle. Doesn't, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter what side. You know, that's the point, isn't it? That an experience like that must put all of that into perspective.
It was frightening, guys, because when it landed, I thought, what in the, you know, what was that? Because I actually seen it coming out the corner of my eye and thinking, what is that coming? I had to grab her and can I pull her into me? I think she'd get me a sight. The fact was, I think she was trying that she thought I was trying to get a cuddle right enough. You know what I mean? She's not one of the people. She kind of looked at me as if, what's you doing? But I had to grab her and pull her into me. And I just thought, this isn't right. And I just thought, you know what? See, for anything, guys, it's new scunnered me now about going to watch a game of football. And I know folk will be like, oh, it's a bit extreme and stuff. But see, for me, I'm not putting my daughter through that, and I'm certainly not putting myself through it. And it's just, I think, do you know what? It's a game of football at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've got Celtic supporting pals. And we'll have a laugh and a joke, and we love the banter and all that kind of stuff, right? But see, when it gets to stages like that, guys, I think these people need to get caught. They need to be severely dealt with, as in spend a wee bit of time in the jail, I think, because I think that's the only thing that's going to put the frighteners up, these people. I just think it's just an absolute joke, guys, honestly, and they should be embarrassed about themselves more than anything.
Well, funnily enough, Brian, courtesy of the TV cameras, you were clocked in the stand. I don't know what sort of weird groundhopper you are, because I saw you in the Rangers end for a game against Hibs earlier this season, and then you were in the Celtic end with your son, I think, at the weekend. So that aside, because it's a more serious point, you share that experience, I guess, of taking your child in that environment. What was it like?
To be honest, I thought the atmosphere was good, apart from some selected song choices throughout the match, but the scenes at the end were absolutely ridiculous, pretty similar to James. I'll no take my wee man back to it. It's just no worth it. There was other kids round about it. Excuse me. When it all kicks off, I've just grabbed them, because you see a flare coming into the Celtic side, went into the concourse bit where the canteen bit is. There's other kids there. They're all in tears. Then you hear banging from upstairs. The kids think it's Rangers fans coming in the back end. And they were petrified. And honestly, it scunnered me. And I'm the same as James as well. Like, it's no worth it. Kids want to go and experience the game as well. I went along to the game. I was given two tickets, and I was like, great chance to go, my young man, to go and experience Scotland's biggest game, where the old allocation was back. Think there was going to be a good day. Worst decision I made. I wish I never went.
I've been quite clear last night, of, I think, tarring everybody with all the same brush for whether it's a team or a culture or whatever is wrong. But there is that kind of unavoidable bit where, because you're, wee man's a Thistle fan, isn't he? He goes a lot of Thistle games.
Went to the game Paisley on that against St Mirren. I've took him home,
and he felt absolutely fine at that one.
Yeah, he goes to Thistle games all the time, and he's at the back of the Jackie Husband stand running about. No, sorry, it's a John Lambie stand running about with his friends, enjoys football. But I just thought it was an occasion where I was given the chance to get two tickets. He's a football fan, we'll go and experience it. And I wish I didn't, because what I've seen at the end of that game was just absolutely horrific. There's grown men running about with balaclavas on. Come on, grow up.
It's a fair point. James, I wish you didn't have to share that story, but at the same time, I'm sort of glad that you did. I appreciate you doing that, because it must not be easy to kind of relive, and it doesn't bear thinking about if it had gone worse. So I do appreciate that. That was James in Drumchapel. I think we could squeeze certainly one more before the news if we go Thomas in East Kilbride. Thomas.
Evening, Gordon, Brian, how are we all?
Good, thank you.
So what I want to first of all say is I want to give my best wishes to the previous caller, James, and his daughter. You know, hearing that story of what almost happened there, it really puts things into perspective. You know, it is a game of football at the end of the day, and to think that James could, something catastrophic could have happened to his daughter there, that doesn't really bear thinking about. And from both sides, I'm a Celtic fan, right, so you might expect me to come on and say, oh, the Rangers fans caused it by retaliating and doing whatever. Yes, to a degree, but some of the behaviour from Celtic fans as well, you know, not just the pitch invasion, which you do see every now and again, but some of the you know, forcing your way in, and some of the graffiti, and particularly the things mentioned in the Ibrox disaster and so on and so forth, some of the behaviour from both sides was just quite honestly deplorable. And I heard Martin O'Neill's comments about being quite saddened that maybe the allocation will be cut now. And personally, I mean, you want away fans in, but I think this proves that, to that scale at least, it just, at this moment in time, just isn't worth it. You know, if James is having stories like that, Brian's having stories like that he just explained, I'm sure hundreds, if not thousands, of other people will have similar stories, similar feelings, and it just puts it all in perspective. You know, is it really worth all the hassle of having the away fans?
That will be the next question, Gordon, because like the 7,000, as we all know, was about the cup anyway. So that was never on the cards, even if it had gone swimmingly at the weekend. That wasn't really on the cards for the next league fixture. I know people maybe wanted to get back up to that, so the aim for the next one would be that couple of thousand. So Well, first of all, we've not even heard for the clubs yet, as far as I can gather. 7 o'clock on the Tuesday, so see what they have to say. Police investigations will be underway. Clubs will surely, no matter what they do or say, will launch their own investigations. And then that will be the next bit. What does that post-split game at Celtic Park look like? How much input did the police have? What are Celtic willing to offer tickets-wise? What did the SPFL have to say for it? Because this, worth bearing in mind, the Scottish, I know it sounds kind of boring administrative detail, but it is important. The Scottish FA run the Scottish Cup. The SPFL will be in charge of the league match. So I don't think there's any doubt that there'll be a debate and a discussion about what that allocation is.
Oh, 100%. Like. I think the conversation is a three or four way one, as you quite rightly said there, Gordon, and rightly so. I think we'll get back to the fact that soon that they'll make a decision that no fans, away fans, will be allowed into these fixtures, which for me saddens, because I was very fortunate in my playing career at Ibrox to play in that situation at that time when what you would call the Celtic end was full, and there was obviously a lot, played in a few games, absolutely no scenes after it. And as a player, it's the best atmosphere you're playing. It's absolutely brilliant, and that comes from the two sets of supporters. But obviously what happened at the weekend will be taken into consideration, and I think eventually it'll be interesting to see what Rangers get at Celtic Park. But I eventually think that they will look at it and decide over the next couple of years that it'll be home fans only.
But in the same time, in the past couple of games when they've had the European allocation, there's been no trouble at all. And it's worked well. We've had the nets up and stuff like that, and the security was fine. But at the weekend, I know you've interviewed with the police and stuff, but when it goes to penalties like that, you go to Hampden, you see the line of police at the back as well. So I'm no point in the blame at the police here, because when I was going to the game, the police presence outside the ground was enormous. So I'm just questioning, at that stage of the game, when you know how tight the game's been, why not bring them in and put them along at the back?
The sad thing is there are a massive majority of fans there want to go and support your team. Right, and obviously they're the ones that are going to suffer as well.
Thank you very much to Thomas. Let's play this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. A huge week last week, you know, Brian Graham's first win on Beat the Pundit. Let's see if he can follow up or whether it will be the old timer, Gordon DL, who is on 01419511025, and you must call before 7 o'clock. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon DL and Brian Graham are here. So 01419511025, and still round about another hour, maybe just under, for you to share your thoughts on whatever it is that is bothering you this evening. So pick up that phone as quick as you can, and we'll speak to you very soon once we finish playing this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. Let's see how we go with either Gordon or Brian taking on Chris, who's on the line. Hi, Chris.
Hi there, how you doing, Gordon?
Have you ever played before? Same question we ask every night.
No.
All right, okay. Debut, what made you call tonight?
I'm just sitting watching my boy doing fitness training. It's pouring the rain, so I thought I'd come in and listen to the radio and then give it a try.
Right, where are you? Where's the training?
Keith Hill in Paisley.
Right, okay. What's the team? We'll give them a wee mention.
Glenifer Thistle.
Brilliant, right, okay. Well, hope they are working hard while you're trying to win a sign ball or the coin. Let's see how we go. If it's the blue side, it is Brian Graham. And if it is the red side, it will be Gordon DL. What is he trying to
He's trying to do answers.
Is he trying to study?
Yeah, he's studying.
Before it starts.
I know, because he don't know what's coming, so he just need to see.
What were you putting down there?
Never you mind.
He's got about 40 things down there.
Same as you. Same as you.
Oh, Chris, that's what I've got.
No, remember that one.
That's Thomas.
Do you know what I was going to say? It reminds me of exams at school. You would try and guess what was going to come up.
Yeah.
And no offence, that's a
none
wasted,
of names coming up.
It's
anyway.
A wasted conversation, that, with you.
What do you mean?
You never
you
done your exams.
I didn't do exams at school.
I mean, I just probably in it more for your athletic capabilities.
I think you're correct.
Right,
toss
okay.
the coin.
No offence. Let's do it. It's you.
Yes.
Dale High School Ducks medalist.
Oh, geez, 1979.
I'll hide that now.
You're on. You ready?
Yeah.
Red side for Gordon DL. You happy with that, Chris?
Aye, it's fine, yeah.
All the best, Chris.
Right, let's give Gordon else to listen to. 30 seconds on the clock, Chris. Answer as many as you can. Feel free to pass and move on, okay?
Okay.
Right, 30 seconds starting now. Which current Rangers player has 6 Norway caps?
Asgard.
Name any Celtic player who won every league title in their most recent 9 in a row.
Colin McGregor.
Who won the Scottish in the Scottish Premiership most recently, Kilmarnock or St Mirren?
St Mirren.
Which current team have been in the Scottish Championship the longest?
Morton.
Ryan Gold, Ryan Porteous and Lewis Morgan all play in which league?
MLS.
Who finished third in the top flight last season?
Hearts.
Okay, let's bring him back. Gordon, BL, can you hear us?
I can hear you loud and clear.
You want Brian's notes to help you?
Nah.
Okay, 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Which current Rangers player has 6 Norway caps?
Olsen. Denmark.
Name any Celtic player who won every league title during their most recent 9 in a row.
Forrest.
Who won in the Scottish Premiership most recently, Kilmarnock or St Mirren?
St Mirren.
Which current team have been in the Championship the longest?
The Championship, Wraith.
Ryan Gold, Ryan Porteous and Lewis Morgan all play in which league?
Who?
Ryan Gold, Ryan Porteous and Lewis Morgan.
The MLS.
I was absolutely certain you were going to get the wrong letters there. I was so sure of it because I knew you would know where it was. I just thought you were going to give me the wrong portion of the alphabet. We'll find out.
I worried there.
Oh, dearie me. Chris, what do you think? How was the pressure when you're doing it in real life?
But as soon as I said McGregor, I was going to say Forrest. I said Forrest.
I got a 10 on the 5K minute yesterday.
Brilliant.
Not with the pressure. Do you know what I mean? It's not the same.
It's different.
It's easy for me to read the questions. But I'm very honest. I struggled today with, you know, so it's not, I'm not making that up, but. When your luck's in, your luck's in.
To be fair, I didn't think I was that good tonight.
No, you weren't. Don't worry about that.
Did I get one right?
I can confirm. Let's go through and find out which current Rangers player has 6 Norway.
I can't believe I said Olsen.
Especially because, even if you get
Asgard.
But even if you get your countries mixed up, we keep talking about Olsen having 40, not 6.
Asgard, but I can't believe I said Olsen.
Chris got it. 1-0 to Chris.
One.
Name any Celtic player who won every league title in the most recent 9 in a row. Chris fell for the obvious wrong answer. Callum McGregor didn't win 3 of the first 3, I don't think. James Forrest did, and you could have had Scott Brown. I didn't say it had to be a current Celtic player. So 1 each. Gordon, DL equalises. Who won in the Scottish Premiership most recently? What did you say?
I said whatever answer was.
He said St Mirren.
He said St Mirren. It's Kilmarnock against St Mirren.
And Chris got
4-3.
4-3 game. Chris got it wrong as well. One each.
Yep. Well done, Chris.
Right, I'm going to come back to the next one. Ryan Gold, Ryan Porteous, Lewis Morgan all play in the
MLS.
MLS. Oh, I just.
I was nearly gone.
What were you going to say?
Oh, I can't remember. I don't even want to say. What did Chris say?
He said MLS, you got it. Vancouver Whitecaps, LAFC and San Diego, respectively.
Which is the one that's got to decide this?
Chris got more questions as well. You were slow tonight as well.
I know,
slow.
You were sort of putting up. Who's the longest in the division?
Just quickly, Chris got who finished third in the top flight last season. He got that question in, you didn't get time for that one.
All right.
He got it wrong though. Remember, Hearts were bottom 6, bottom, I think, last season. Chris, it was Hibs actually. So none of you got that. Which means it all comes down to which team's been in the Championship the longest. You just went for your old team Wraith, didn't you?
Yeah, probably.
That's just the only one you could think of off the top of your head.
Is it no air?
It is Morton, and Chris got it. Chris, was that a guess or do you know that?
I just guessed it because my boy used to play for Green Up Morton. So I just guessed it.
Superb. Because that's one of those questions. I have no idea what I would have said. You know, I just. It could have been any.
Well
just,
done. Did Chris win 3-2?
Chris did.
Oh,
yeah. Chris. Well done, Chris.
So, is your son still at training?
Yes.
So, you can tell him this news when he gets into the car.
He's not going to believe you.
He won't believe you, will he?
No, he definitely won't.
You're going to need to get this YouTube stream played back later on when you get home. Do you want the sign ball or the Beat the Pundit coin?
I'll take the ball for the wee man.
Absolutely brilliant. Well done. Who was your brilliant team, incidentally, Chris?
Celtic.
What did you make of the... Well, there was two obvious ways of looking at it. You progressed in the cup. Maybe it wasn't a classic up to that point. I don't know. Does that matter? What did you take away from it?
It doesn't matter. It was just two poor teams at the moment. And it was just, as you say, toss you a coin, you could have done who would have won it. So, yeah.
Did you fancy Celtic on penalties?
No, because of Jack Butland. But then I didn't realise he's not very good at penalty shootouts.
Because also, Gordon, I remember we were sort of speculating a bit about not really knowing what Celtic's takers would look like.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was worried about as well. I think who's going to take them?
Trusty was maybe the surprise one. Mm-hmm.
Took it well.
Hatate, to be
was
fair,
a bit worrying.
We kind of knew he would take one, yep, but having missed recently, he stuck that away really well, mm-hmm, didn't he? What do you think about, because we spoke about it on the other hand for Rangers, you know, what does it say about your prospects? Could Celtic take anything away from it, or in the cold light of day when they're trying to assess and analyse their best way of going forward and trying to win this title, will they still look at how disappointing the 120 minute performance will be? Is it different for fans who just take the elation? You know, if you're Sean Maloney, you're Martin O'Neill, you're trying to come up with the game plans to win you all your games, win the title, you're looking for much more than you got at the weekend.
Yeah, of course you are, but I think they'll take into consideration the four games prior, away from home. I think they'll take into consideration the pitch up at Ibrox with two big players missing for them that mm-hmm. know the fixture inside out. So I think they'll take positives out of it. They'll take the positives of the clean sheet, defending, and how they defended as well. But they will certainly need to, going forward, they'll certainly need to play a lot better if they've got to go and win the league. There's no doubt about that.
No, 100%. And that's the thing. Going forward, they offered nothing in the game. Obviously, they got the goal. It was offside when Scales was offside for Maeda. But other than that, they created nothing in the game of note. And that'd be worrying as well for Celtic. Callum McGregor was obviously a key player missing, but he's a centre midfielder. I know he's key to getting Celtic playing, but on the day, I felt the wide players were non-existent throughout the game. Konecty, I thought, was very poor in the game, created nothing for his striker Maeda on the occasion. But I think Celtic going forward need to offer so much more.
I'll give you a potential out. I think we were beaten down. You'd had your night out on Saturday. It was a long shift in here. It went to extra time. Do you regret being so harsh on Mvuka, or was it justified?
I hate, because you've been an ex-pro yourself, but you're in a job to give an opinion. I don't know what the lad offers. I've seen guys come to Scottish football and teams like Rangers, Celtic or whatever, and I've seen Hearts and Hibs and all these guys picking players up that you think pay good money for, go on a good wage, but they just can't hack it in Scottish football. Doesn't mean to say that there's no future for them, because they leave and some of them went on to have really good careers. But Mvuka, for me, I was astonished of what he offered when he came on the pitch, Gordon. I really was.
For me, at times when he had the ball in comfortable possession and he was just kicking it away where he was facing it. And for a Celtic player, I was stunned at that, if I'm being honest. And Konecty, I think, has been good in some games. I think he's been more effective coming off the bench in the last 20 minutes of games, where he comes alive, cuts inside and scored a couple of important goals for Celtic. But on the day, I thought, to be fair to Yang, I thought he worked extremely hard on the flank, up and down the pitch, worked extremely hard, but he never really offered enough going forward. But at the same time, Celtic never really carried enough threat going forward, never really got high enough up the pitch. But in the winger, second half performance, when he came on, I just don't think he offered anywhere near enough.
Thank you. Well done again to Chris. The sign ball is on its way at some point, and pass our regards on to the young team.
Thank you. Cheers, guys.
Good man.
Thank you.
How bad was that, right? There's two things to that. Ask that right away when I said, mm-hmm, right. See the Kilmarnock St Mirren one?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting looking at it.
What do you mean?
Because there's four or five reds and Kilmarnock have got the one green for a win.
People, what does that mean?
the league table sitting there with
it's got the little form guide at the end, right?
And
you're banging on about greens and reds,
right? Because reds obviously lost. Yes, and greens.
No, listen, I follow now. But.
And the one green is looking right at me, saying it was Kilmarnock. That was terrible, wasn't it?
To be fair,
you were a bit of nuisance, by the way.
Come on,
you
don't
were. See all
see when you lose, take a wee bit of responsibility.
No, that right. Take
a bit of responsibility.
You're like a big giraffe neck looking over and see what I was doing. Just stay over in your own patch.
Oh dear, Liam is on the other line. Hi Liam.
How are we doing, boys? You alright?
Yeah, good Liam, what made you call?
Well, I've got a bit of a point that kind of expand onto more things, right? So it's mainly about characters in the game, and you've got one in the studio that everyone loves, right? Gordon, by the way, not yourself.
I don't know what everybody loves, but
yeah,
I'll take your point.
I agree with you, Liam. I echo your sentiments.
Anyway, right? I don't think we've got enough of them, right? And when I was living in the 90s, I was born in the 80s, living in the 90s, so I went right through all the bad times. I'm a Celtic fan, right? And I used to hate, and not in a nasty way, but hate is a strong word, but I used to really dislike lots of Rangers players because they were characters, because they were either good or they wound you up, right? So my mate's a Rangers fan. He hated Scott Brown. He hated Neil Lennon, these guys, because they were good and they also wound up the fans. Everyone's got a problem right now with Julio Araujo, but everyone wants characters in the game. He's a character, right? Now, he's a guy that, if he would play for Rangers, I liken him to Vladimir Weiss years ago. He was very similar. He came here on loan, done very similar things, had a few good games, a few bad games, whatever, right? But he wound up Celtic fans, and he bought into the mentality of being a Rangers player. Araujo's doing the exact same thing. Rangers fans loved Weiss. I hated him. I hated Nacho Novo. All these guys that you hate, you don't really hate them, but you hate them because they annoy you. They're really good, or they wind up your players to make them play bad. So I think Araujo done that twice. I think once in the first game, last weekend, especially the second half, he got under Mikey Moore's skin and the game changed, Hatate came on, whatever. But if you notice in the very first game, the first thing he did was he flattened Mikey Moore. It should have been boots, to be honest. And then from then on, he was in Raskin Deer as well. And what he done was, in the second game, because that had already been built up, he carried that on. So you've probably seen the footage of him giving Raskin verbals constantly. And I think he actually took maybe only 1 or 2% away from Raskin's game, because he was more concerned with winding up him or winding up the fans than he was with his own game. And he's quite pivotal in these games. If Raskin has a good game, Rangers play well.
I thought you were going to say you've seen the footage of him swinging from the roof of a pub or a club or whatever it was on Sunday night.
That as well. But all these things just go towards him being a character. Now, he's going to wait to go away at the end of the season and he'll go on and do whatever, right? He's been at loads of clubs, Barca, MLS, Bournemouth, whatever, right? I'd love us to sign him, but I can't see us having two guys of that quality vying for the same position. It's not going to happen. But what we want in this country, or in the football in general, and there's hardly any of them left now, is characters. Guys that you either love if they're in your team or you hate in the opposing team. I would hate him to be an Rangers player.
He looked as if he really enjoyed the occasion. He looked as if he was thriving off the atmosphere. And I think you're right. I think he was trying to get into Raskin's ear because, as you mentioned there, Raskin is a top player. And if you can get him off his game 5%, then you're going to benefit your own team.
Totally.
And I agree with your other point. I don't think Celtic will probably keep him because obviously Alistair Johnson's coming back. Can they afford these wages? All these things have come into question. So you just don't know what's going to happen. But I couldn't see it. I'd probably agree with you in that one. But I thought he had a good game. I thought he defended well. He tried to get forward, but he didn't get forward enough for me. He's an outlet on the right hand side. But as you said, he's played that role particularly well. I tried to wide everybody up at Ibrox. He's done it 2 weeks in a row, and he probably fried off in the second game.
But players do it, don't they? Listen, I sit here most weeks as a pundit, and some players annoy me. And Liam's touched on one. I think Raskin is a really talented player, but it annoys me the fact that every time there's something going on, he's in the face of the referee, or he's getting involved in it. And I think it takes away from what his game is. But that's been on since my day, way back in the 80s. You know, you get players that, even when you play against Brian, you get players that you hated when you played against. But You obviously went out and met them, thought they were the nicest people in the world. It was just on the day.
That's the 90 minutes when you cross that white line.
They knew how to get into your head. And if you let them affect you, then it affects your game. And they're winning with that. So you've got to be the bigger character to say, do you know what? You can stand there, you can pull me, you can give me what you're ever saying about... I used to get up about my nose, I don't know why.
Right. surprises me.
I couldn't believe it. I used to say they talking to me.
That's what Elijah were telling.
Yeah, but the best way for reacting to that is, you know, be a better player, score a goal.
Reminds me of... Who elbowed who out of you and Marvin again?
Oh, Marv elbowed me.
All right. Notice how I couldn't remember because I feel like both were equally possible. But he elbowed you.
Oh, didn't he? It was a forearm smashed. Could have broke my jaw that day at Hampden.
Honestly.
But see, to be fair.
They dodged him, did he?
Oh, cracker.
Did he?
Oh, Priva. Oh, peach.
Would he have been off?
6 months in the jail.
Would he?
Oh, 6 month sentence.
Anyway, thank you to Liam. Keep the calls coming in whilst I tell you about this.
The Glasgow International Comedy Festival with Clyde One.
We're delighted to have teamed up all this week with the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. I'm gonna potentially shame you on air here.
I've not got a joke.
So last week we gave the tickets away. You said one of the shows, Fess Hole, was on your birthday.
Yes, Monday.
And the organiser sent me a message to say they would treat you tickets and all that for your birthday.
And so, dinner.
And they said all they needed from me was your email address. I've not sent it yet because I know what you're like. You don't turn up at things. So here, this, in front of everybody, in front of the nation, your adoring public.
Yeah.
If I arrange this for you, are you going to go?
100%.
That smile, didn't you? Do you believe that?
He convinced me.
I'm getting my dinner as well, isn't
it? It's definite to make that point. I'm sure that was.
Let's see
the
contract before it's signed.
Oh, for goodness sake. Anyway.
Need to read the small print.
It does all kick off tomorrow night across Glasgow City Centre. We're giving away tickets and meals, as you've heard, to some of the festival's best shows. So what to do is tune in to Bowie at Breakfast tomorrow morning. You could win tickets to Susie McCabe's show, Coming of Rage. It's at the King's Theatre on Friday the 27th of March. And we're throwing in two courses and two drinks at Ghost Steak Restaurant on Bothwell Street. Very nice. Plus, we've got a very special guest on this show tomorrow with some more tickets to give away as well. Remember Roscoe McClellan came in last year and told a joke that you loved?
Yeah.
What was it again?
About the, what did the fish say to the local bus?
They run over by a bus or something?
Aye. What did he say? Oh, my gills.
Tomorrow's special guest has got a lot to live up to. Don't forget, check out GlasgowComedyFestival.com for all the shows across this month.
Your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One's Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dale is here alongside Brian Graham. Let's bring in this question for you, which is an absolute cracker tonight.
The full-time teaser with Architran Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrants drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Right, there's an absolute belter this from Stephen in Portobello. A really good one.
Portobello, I love Portobello. I used to go there on my holidays when I was a kid, yeah. Love Portobello.
The beach.
Oh, we, brilliant. Caravan.
We mini Dazzler.
Caravan Portobello.
Were you down there with your speedos on, your kite?
They were a days. No worries, no hassles, no problems. Just fun and laughter.
You strike me as the type of guy that's brought a lot of your problems on yourself.
Yes, correct.
I would
probably agree with that, yes.
That's a whole different show. Right, Stephen has sent it in. Good one, this. Going to have to think about it. So, and please do me a turn. Listen carefully.
Okay.
I'll repeat it maybe once if you're lucky.
Okay.
Can you name the last six players to score 10 league goals in a Scottish Premiership season and have previously scored 10 league goals in the Championship? One more time. Can you name the last six players to score 10 league goals in a single Scottish Premiership season, having previously scored 10 league goals at any point in the Scottish Championship?
Shanklin.
Absolutely.
So. Martin Boyle.
Brilliant. Good start from you both. So just to show the work in there, obviously Shanklin got,
yeah,
in fact,
Boyle,
he's got 10 Premiership goals this season. And he's got 62 in the Championship between Dundee United, Ayr and St Mirren. Boyle got 15 Premiership goals for Hibs a couple of seasons back, and he's got 21 Championship goals between Hibs and Dundee.
Right, McLean or Stevie May at St Johnstone, maybe?
None of them.
None of them?
Nah.
I thought they'd have got that.
Would they not be mostly the they would be the top flight era for St Johnstone, would they not? Those two.
Steve McLean definitely would have been.
Anyway, give me one more guess. And you've got two of the six already straight off the bat.
Now, well, hold on a minute. There must be a Rangers player in there when they were in the Championship. And then top line. Is that right? Am I correct? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. That's the Port of Ella bit coming out of me. I just can't think of who it is.
It's not a difficult one.
Jason Cummings, Ben.
Oh! Tavernier. James
Tavernier. Tavernier, yeah.
Right, okay. Well, that's you're halfway there, so we can get back to it. Thanks again to Stephen in Gordon's favourite holiday destination. And thanks to Arcoplan Glasgow, our new sponsors on this bit of the show as well. James is a Rangers fan. How are you, James?
I'm not bad. How are you?
Good, James. What are you thinking?
Well, I heard you earlier on, Gordon, saying, asking the kind of the question that is Danny Rowe due any credit? And I'll be honest with you, Danny Rowe is no get any credit at all for where we are on the table. We are on the table. We are where we are on the table because Celtic employed Wilfred Nancy. Full stop. Nothing to do with Danny Rowe. In fact, where we are on the table is an indictment on Danny Rowe. Because after we beat Hearts, the four games after that, we drew four times. So out of four games, a possible 12 points, he's come away with 4 points. So that's an indictment on him. So if he wants any credit, he has to earn that credit. As a matter of fact, we're fed up to the back teeth of giving people credit, giving players credit, and they're no hopers, won nothing, and all they do is collect a high wage. So at the end of the day, I'm not interested in giving Danny Rowe any credit. He's got to prove himself to us. And as far as I'm concerned, we are too far behind Hearts. We're not winning a league. We don't have a chance of winning that league. That is gone and amongst the 8 points that he came out with, thinking he's done well. There's no chance we're going to win a league.
I think it's very hard to argue with that. I'm not fancying Rangers to finish strong and win the league, I've got to say. They've not impressed me for... Look, you watch them against Celtic first half, I thought they were excellent, right, in the first game. You watch them against Hearts second half, I thought... But there's not that sort of a 60, 70 minutes where you really look at Rangers and think, oh, they're a top, top team. I went and watched them against Motherwell at third part. They were in control of the game 1-0. Motherwell weren't doing it to 10 men. And Motherwell schooled them in the middle of the park. And they hung on for a 1-1. I agree. I think Danny Rowe, when he came in at first, because of what he'd inherited from Russell Martin, the Rangers fans, because he got close up into this title race, they all bought into him, thought he was the best thing. But when you're a Rangers manager, you've got to be up there challenging. You've got to go and win things.
I mean, he is up there challenging still, is he not?
Well, he's out the Scottish Cup, so he's got one trophy left. And James is a Rangers fan. I listened to Andy last night, and Andy's a massive Rangers fan, loves the club, doesn't fancy Rangers to win it. I think there'll be a lot of Rangers fans out there not fancying Rangers to go and win a bit of silverware this season as well.
And the reason they won't win it is 12 draws.
Yeah.
They've only lost twice in the league all season. It's the draws that have killed them.
They're a team, I think, that other opposition teams are now looking at and going, we know how to play against it. See if you defend a lot of your set plays against Rangers, you've got a great opportunity to go and beat. I don't see that flowing football. There's nothing from the middle of the park for me that opens teams up. See if they can't get down the wide areas and get the balls into the big guys. They obviously go with the two up top now, Chermiti and Nadiri, a bit of height and a bit of physicality up there. If they can't get in from the wide areas, if they can't get their set plays, I don't see any of their midfield players make a pass that opens up defences. Like, you go and watch Motherwell, for instance. Motherwell midfield are absolutely brilliant. They can cut you open with one pass. Falkirk's the same. We get players in there that can go and cut you open with one pass as well. Rangers don't have that in their locker for me.
See, in fairness, James, I take the point about, you know, Celtic and Wilfred Nancy, but I think, you know, it's not a bad points tally that Danny Rowe's racked up. I think if you were to take the points he's picked up, if you were to replicate that across a season, I think Rangers would finish on about 87 points. Now, I know another seasons, that's not enough to win you the title with some of the strong Celtic performances we've seen. But it might in another season. You know, that's not a bad kind of rate to be picking up points at, is it?
It's not a bad rate, Gordon. But what you're forgetting is we are only there because Wilfred Nancy was employed by Celtic. So if you take all the points that Wilfred Nancy dropped and you give them to Celtic, we don't stand a chance, right? No matter who's in charge of us, right? So at the end of the day, what I'm saying is, by default, we're now in a title race that we never thought we would be a part of when Russell Martin was in charge of your team. We're grateful for that chance. What I'm saying is, Danny Rowe had the chance. It's four draws in a row. Four draws in a trot. That's what lost us the league. So he had the opportunity to prove himself. He had the opportunity to be the messiah that we all bow to. And he's most... That's it.
Listen, I get your point, but at the same time, he's come in mid-season. I know he spent a lot of money in January there. Danny Rowe's probably needing a pre-season to work on how he wants to play. He's probably come in this year and he's trying to get a job done with the players that he's got at his disposal. So then I think he gets a chance to go and get pre-season, get his own players, potentially creative midfielders, what Gordon's saying there. And then I think he gets judged. Gordon's saying if you're going over the course of the season, you're going to get 87 points. I think he's done a good job, genuinely do. And I know there's a lot of emotions and stuff coming out of the last couple of results. I totally get that. But at the same time, I think he's come in where Rangers were to where they are now. I think he's done a good job.
What does he need to do between now? I mean, can he win the league, first of all, James? You don't sound too confident. Would you settle for making a real good go at it and then he's the man to lead you into next season?
I'm not saying sack. We can't afford to sack him. I'm only being realistic and saying he's had his chance and he's blown it this season. So at the end, at the beginning of next season, other than the microscope wouldn't be on him if he could get a right good run and we beat Celtic, or we didn't have four draws in a row and we were ahead of Celtic in between Hearts and we just narrowly lost the league to Hearts. That's a different story, but I'm not saying sack the guy. What I'm saying is, being realistically, the guy's definitely going to get next season and he's definitely going to get new players, but they need to be better players than Madeira.
But at the weekend, Rangers dominated that game. Obviously, a lot falls on the manager's head. He can't then go and play the game. The players need to take a huge responsibility as well for not getting that game over the line.
Again, is Nadiri one, James, where it, you know, maybe requires a bit more? The guy, he was playing third-tier German football, so you kind of know you're not getting, you know, a kind of polished version. He comes in, Rangers saw something, they paid a bit of money. Is he not another one that just needs a bit more time to be judging?
That's what I'm saying about being realistic. We can't expect, it's unrealistic that we did expect, but we had that carrot dangled in front of our nose, and that was by default. That wasn't, what I'm trying to say is, that wasn't because Danny Rowe was any great shakes. That was because Wilfred Nancy had a bad employment. So what I'm saying is, I didn't expect us to, no Rangers fan could honestly say they expected us to challenge first league. What I'm saying is, a wee bit sore that we get towards the winning line and before we go. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that Danny Rowe should get sacked. That's just nuts. You know? But what I'm saying is, be realistic. The guy didn't have a chance. And I think next season, if he brings his own players in, that's when the spotlight's on him.
I think you can look at it two ways, Gordon. I don't want to get bogged down in numbers because there's different ways of looking at it, and then comparing points tallies to other seasons is difficult because you never quite know what form everybody's been in. But as an Hearts are on track, if Hearts keep up the exact rate they've been going, they're on track to pick up, to finish on 82 points. And as I said, Danny Rule, if you took his form and multiplied it, if his points per game multiplied it by 38 over a season, he would be on 87. So I get the point, the Wilfred Nancy, and then we'll never know there because I don't. I mean, what did he surrender again? Was it 12 points or something like that? Even if he added, even if that was a bad run for Celtic, and he added on, I don't know, four more points to what Celtic had. You know, that would have still been a bad Wilfred Nancy spell.
Yep.
But can you imagine them with four? You know, imagine they just beaten Dundee United away and drew that Motherwell game as an example. Still lost to Hearts. You know, still lost to Rangers even. It would be that, but listen, that's, then Rangers fans will point to the start to the season under Russell Martin, And on we go. Thank you very much to James for sharing his thoughts. Take one more guess each on this teaser. Six players who've scored 10 league goals in the Scottish Premiership in a single season, having previously scored 10 championship goals at some point. Shankland, Boyle, Tavernier.
Simon Murray.
Yes.
Oh, hit him.
Right. And we will get the rest when we return. 0141 951 1025.
This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, Gordon Dalziel and Brian Graham are here. We're going to bring in Josh in just a second. And before we go any further, let me run something else past you as well, because as you might be able to see, I want to welcome our new podcast sponsor, White & Mackay, triple matured whiskey crafted on the Clyde. You can see that line there on the, see the wee logo. Are you happy with that, Dazzler?
Absolutely brilliant.
Good, I'm glad you do. So
I've got a wee bottle in there.
Well, just, I noticed that. Just like Super Scoreboard, proudly from Glasgow but celebrated globally. So you know, you should know the deal. But if not, if you ever miss the show, you can always catch up on Rail or wherever you get your podcast. So check out the Clyde One Super Scoreboard podcast, now proudly sponsored by White & Mackay triple matured whiskey, a proper Scotch whiskey for proper football chat. Visit whitemackay.com, and as always, please drink
responsibly.
Thank you. Okay, your teaser tonight's a good one, I think you'll agree. Really good question. We're looking for the last six players to score 10 goals in a single Premiership season, having previously scored 10 at any point in the Championship. So Shankland, Murray, Boyle, Tavernier.
Right. I asked this man here, he says usual. No, nine. Right. No good to me. Chris Doolan.
No.
Tony Watt.
Yes.
That's who I meant.
On the show regularly.
You okay. Just bounce off of me, didn't you? I just tee you.
Striker playing it. Old fashioned.
We've
two
got
up
one
front
more, and you've got plenty of time. So let's pause and bring in Josh, who's in Paisley. Hi, Josh.
Hi there. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Aye, not too bad. Not too bad.
What are you thinking? You a St Mirren fan?
Aye, so, yep, St Mirren.
Cup specialists.
Aye, yep, best cup team in the country. That's a fact.
It certainly looks like it. What's the key to that?
I don't know what they're doing. Hopefully we can start putting up in the league, but, yep.
What are you thinking then?
I was just earlier on, quite a wee while ago, at the start of the show, when you were just kind of talking about all the teams getting through to the semi-final, and I was thinking, you've got St Mirren, Falkirk and Dunfermline, so they're three clubs that are kind of ingrained in their communities and get good kind of core supports. And then I was thinking, obviously Falkirk, St Mirren, Dunfermline are probably only going to have like 13,000 to 15,000 maximum from each of these teams going. And I was just thinking about the ticket prices for the last semi-final and then the final that we went to with St Mirren. So it's very costly for families, especially when you're going to two in the one season, just regarding the prices of it. So it was £30 and £36 last time. I think there's scope to bring that down and try and get more fans into these games and get a bit more a spectacle for Scottish football.
Difficult, isn't it, I think, for clubs, because at the Cup it's sort of split four ways, isn't it, regardless of who plays who. So both semi-finals need to be priced the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I was part of a kind of wee committee that was put together right. With St Mirren and Motherwell last time. So Keith Lasley and Brian Caldwell had tried to push for cheaper tickets for the last one, but obviously the other game was an Old Firm game.
Exactly. Your club then benefits from that financially. Yep. So it is a very difficult balance. There's no Old Firm game, but there is Celtic here. What I would say is I would at least encourage Josh because, well, you listen, you've been part of it. You'll know, I think St Mirren do these things the right way where possible. And I know Brian will jump in as well. Falkirk, certainly, and Falkirk are probably one of the leading voices at trying to price football matches sensibly. So do you at least kind of rest assured that all that can be done will be done to try and make it sensible?
Well, the reason I was kind of phoning up was to put it out there before I go to all these people and try and get them to push for it as well, because this time round, you've got the three clubs being St Mirren, Falkirk and Dunfermline, where they're going to have a big say there. That's three quarters of the people who are involved in the final. So I think that they should be going to Celtic and saying, look, let's try and get as many people into these games as possible. No, I mean, that money divided before is not going to make a big difference to Celtic, but this is all money that St Mirren, Falkirk and Dunfermline wouldn't have budgeted for. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't have been expecting to get to the semi-finals and prize money even just for getting to this. So I think that they should be trying to get
give back to the fans at the same time and try and get as many people, even like a Falkirk and Firmland, let's say the stadium will be half empty when you look at 52,000 capacity. Let's try and get neutral people to see if it's priced. All right, there might be St Mirren fans that will go, oh, we'll go and see who we're going to get in the final.
You Falkirk are big on this stuff though, aren't they, Brian? That'll be at least Jamie Swinney and the guys that run the club will be pushing hard for something sensible. But then it is about that balance, because you know you also as a club deserve to benefit financially. You know, see, when you get to this stage.
I agree with the call, Josh, that about ticket prices, and I think we've heard a lot about away prices this year as well. A lot of fans have been speaking out about 20s play and stuff like
that.
Yeah, so I understand where they're coming from. But then you look at it from the CEO's perspective, it's a business. It's about making money to then get better as a football club. So it's trying to strike that right balance, and that's the hard part, especially in Scottish football where there's not a lot of money in it. But when you, like Falkirk, Dunfermline, St Mirren obviously won the cup this year, got back to a semi-final, so financially it's going to be good for St Mirren. And it's trying to strike that balance of ticket prices. These ticket prices have probably been set at the start of the season, but just because these three teams have then got to the semi-final, but you
think,
want to change
I think you now negotiate them at this stage, don't you?
I would like to hope you could, but I don't understand. I don't know that.
No, I think that is the case, because as Josh says, he was involved with the League Cup one, so the four clubs need to agree. But yeah, listen, I think we just always take the side of the fans. It'd be brilliant if they were really reasonably priced, but at the same time, clubs need to try.
I totally get that. There is a fine balance in it.
Josh, what would you suggest as a fan and obviously being involved in this? What do you think's fair?
I think it's hard because I understand that St Mirren being fan owned and then they need the money to keep everything running. But I also look at it for the point that this isn't the money that we budgeted for. This is kind of extra spending money in a sense. So I think it should be just trying to get as many people there as possible, more so for the Falkirk and Dunfermline game, because there's going to be all these empty seats, and that's then divided, as you're saying, by the four. So last game was what, £30 to £36, which isn't the worst when you think of the prices that Rangers and Celtic were paying, for example.
What was that, 54 or something at the weekend?
Yeah, incredible.
An absolute scandal. But at the same time, like, even if it was like down at £25, if you get more people, there's going to be a point where that balances itself out, and you're getting more people through the gate, creating a better advert for Scottish football and not placing families and stuff out of it.
Yeah, listen, I got to agree with every word of that for sure. It would be interesting to see what the final outcome is, and then it's different this time. You've got that one quite obviously bigger club in there in Celtic. Having said that, I'm interested in the crowd for Falkirk Dunfermline.
So I think it'll be good. I think it'll be a good crowd, to be honest with you. I think
25-30.
I'm hoping for a bit more.
Be great.
You think there'll be more than 30,000?
I'm hoping, Gordon. Turn your hearing aid up.
I think 30 would be a good aim. What do you think? Is that too ambitious?
Do you know something? I'd love it. I'd absolutely love it.
That might be
but
ambitious.
I think that is a bit ambitious.
Yeah, listen, either way, Josh, can you beat St Celtic twice in cup competitions at Hampden in the same season?
Of course we can. What's the point of playing if we're not going to try?
Oh, I'm not saying don't try.
I reckon we can. We obviously had a big advantage at non-sale last time, but
How much do you think you needed this one to sort of to pick up that feel-good factor a bit after a difficult league spell following the League Cup success?
I think St Mirren fans are very fickle, and I think that see if we get beat off Partick Thistle, even though they're playing well, I think that it would have been a kind of downward spiral for there. So I think that winning that game, I think that can kind of get the beliefs back together and give everybody that kind of upward momentum rather than a downward, going into a downward spiral.
Josh, it's funny how the scheduling even comes into it though, right? Because say that the League Cup final used to be March, didn't it?
I think so, yeah.
But
yeah,
when it's so early, what we're seeing with St Mirren, like the fans will have the day forever, and it, you know, one of the best days for them. But you then need to move on with a lot of your season, if that makes sense.
It's been quickly forgotten about. I remember winning it back in 2013, and even up until then, people are sitting saying all these memories. But I think that we've just get on with the rest of the league, and then results aren't going so well. So
I've just heard the music. I did not know it was that close to the end of the show. Thank you very much to Josh.
Still get one to get.
I usually watch the clock, but anyway, Stephen in Portobello asked, can you name the last six players to score 10 league goals in the Premiership in one season and have previously scored 10 league goals in the Championship at any point? Shankland, Murray, Boyle, Tavernier, Watt.
Kevin Nisbet.
Yes. He's good at this, isn't he?
Well done.
To be fair, Championship strikers, that's his speciality.
Well done.
Got lots of goals for Dunfermline and got 11 for Aberdeen one season, so just about makes it in. Thank you very much to Brian Graham and to Gordon Dale, and thank you for all your calls, your company. We're back tomorrow, 6 o'clock. We do it again. Who knows what tomorrow will throw up something? I'm pretty sure, because this is Scottish football and there is no other way. So enjoy the rest of your Tuesday and see us back here tomorrow.